Kick.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
DSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Welcome back in, 508-996-0500, if you want to call in and get involved in the discussion. We were talking about the debate last night, and I do know, by the way, that there is another debate planned for September on ABC. But do you think that that's going to, be something they stick to? We'll see. After last night, I don't know that I think the Biden camp would want another shot at it if they feel like that wasn't the Joe Biden that they saw getting ready for this debate. I think the Trump campaign would be happy to say, we won that one. Let's just take that. But if they also feel like, hey, that's the guy they're going to trot out again in September, sure, we'll do that again. Anyway, we can talk more about that. We can take your reaction to what happened last night. But I think you're going to find very few people who are going to defend Joe Biden's performance last night. You will hear a lot of, well, he started off slow, but he got stronger as he went along. He was stronger on the issues than Trump was. Yeah, okay. But the fact is he had to come out strong out of the gate. He had to silence the critics who say that he's too old and feeble to do the job, and he didn't do that. Again, it's a one-night thing. It doesn't mean that he isn't, but you didn't do anything to assuage the way that people were already saying that. So if the stories are true, if the reaction that we're getting from some of the talking heads are true, there are serious conversations happening in the Democratic Party today about what to do going forward. But I do want to cover, and we can take your calls on that, 508-996-0500, your app chat messages, your open line voicemails. Jeff in New Bedford says, LOL, when's the vice presidential debate? Well, we'd have to know who Trump's running mate is first. And I thought that I heard that he was going to announce it yesterday ahead of the debate. But I guess they decided not to do that because I didn't hear anything. I thought that, you know, we would have heard something if that was the case. But as far as I know, he has not announced a pick yet. But that debate will be a little bit more livelier, I think, whoever it may be. But I do want to talk about another story that Channel 5 had this morning. Massachusetts Attorney General Andrea Campbell says her office has secured a settlement in its case against Uber and Lyft that ensures a number of benefits and protections for drivers who work for those rideshare companies. So they're getting benefits for Uber and Lyft drivers. Under the agreement, Uber and Lyft will pay their drivers a minimum wage of $32.50 an hour. That's more money than a lot of you are making right now. $32.50 an hour. The drivers will also receive guaranteed paid sick leave as well as a stipend to buy into the Massachusetts Paid Family and Medical Leave Program. The settlement also includes a pooled health insurance benefit in which Uber and Lyft will allow drivers to pool their hours driving for the two companies to obtain access to a health insurance stipend. Uber and Lyft drivers are also eligible for occupational accident insurance paid by the companies for up to $1 million in coverage of work-related injuries. So This is a huge win for the people who drive for those companies. $32.50 an hour. I mean, I did well when I was driving for Uber, but I don't know if it averaged out to $32.50 an hour. 508-996-0500. Let's take a call here. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Morning, Tim. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Not bad. Yeah, I watched the debate last night. I think that it was more of an issue of Joe Biden showing where he's at in his life than it is that Donald Trump won the debate based on his content of his debate. You know, I'm going to vote for Donald Trump. That's you know, that aside, I think there were a lot of things that he missed when Joe Biden said that no American servicemen had died in the during his presidency. That was incorrect, and he had we lost 13 service members in Afghanistan during that departure. So I don't know. I think that we don't have two great candidates. We definitely have one that, by the time they were at the water break, first water break, I was looking through all the different journals and newspapers that were posting live articles, and they were already talking about what do we do now with Joe Biden. Because I think there's a portion of people that want to keep it the way it is, and then there's definitely a lot of noise right now about changing, you know, how to change the candidate. But you're 130 days out. I don't know that makes any sense. I mean, right. You know, who are you going to bring in? And then the other, issue in the room to deal with is Kamala Harris. So Biden has to, if he bows out as president and resigns, she takes over immediately. If he has to go through his entire term, and I'm not sure how they worked it out because he already has all the delegates. You know, it's not like they're going to give the delegates that are hardcore Biden delegates to somebody else. So I don't know. That was a mess. I don't think they're going to do another debate. I think they may try to get one going, but if Trump's smart, he's just going to walk away and say, look, you know, this is like when the Little League team has 14 runs over the other team. It's, you know, it's a mercy ending to the game. Let's get out now. Let's not take it further. So,
I mean, do you think that, or do you think that it's also smart if you are the Trump camp to say, well, we did so well this first time against him. Let's do it again, and we can do it even better, and we can come out looking even better as a result of it and maybe win over some of those other voters?
You know, I don't know, Tim. I think that Trump's lack of preparation is showed last night. I think being cavalier and saying, oh, you know, I'm going to let my ego run this forward. He missed a lot of stuff that was important. And I think that he got a little agitated in the middle of the debate, which is pretty clear. He pretty much held his cool until about the middle of the debate. But I was waiting for some of the substance stuff. Like, you know, what people are hanging on to Trump for is the results. And it's like, he said, he would say, well, this is what we did last time. It's like, okay, well, what do you do now? Because if you don't like what Biden has done, what are the things you're going to do to correct it going forward? How are you going to, move the economy forward rapidly? What are the 5 or 10 things you're going to do? Didn't hear that, you know, and that was pretty disappointing for me. But anyway.
Right. And I do think it's a little simplistic to say, well, we can just do what we did last time, because I think anybody that's savvy knows you're walking into a different situation this time than you were in 2017, actually. So, you know, you can't just rely on trust us. You know, we did a good job before. We'll do it again.
Yeah. And I'll leave you with this is I think that that, for instance, we have this illegal alien problem, and Trump's reaction is, I'm going to round everybody up and take them out. Okay, that all sounds like cartoonishly simple, but the fact is that, you know, what's the cost of that? We know what the cost is now of keeping the people here and trying to cater to their needs. But on the other hand, you're going to pick all these people up, and it could be 4 years of nightmare trying to rounding up the wrong people, whatever, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I didn't hear, you know, all I hear is the headline. I never hear the details, and I kind of want to hear the details, and that didn't happen last night.
Sure. Well, you have a great weekend. Thank you for the call.
You as well.
Take it easy. Now. And if you want to call in and react, 508-996-0500. And that's a great point that Steve made. The idea that, you need a little bit more substance to some of these ideas. And they actually asked, I think it was Dana Bash that asked the question of Trump, you know, you've said that you will round up and deport these people. Who are you going to round up and deport? Is it going to be people who have lived here for 20 years and who have jobs and who are contributing members of the community? Is it going to be people who but just haven't been able to complete the citizenship process? Is it going to be people who are married to American citizens but haven't completed the citizenship process? Who is it going to be? And Trump wouldn't get specific on it. I think the easiest thing to say in that situation, at least if you're trying to score points with the audience, the easiest thing to say in that situation was, look, we're going to look into all of that and make those determinations about what's best. But I can tell you right now, what we will do is anybody that's come over here since Joe Biden became president, we are going to round up and because that's what he's fighting against here. He's fighting against Biden's border policy, not the border policy that's been going on for decades. So he could have, to Steve's point, he could have won some points there by, you know, addressing that a little bit more specifically. And that would have been a good debate line to score points, to say, I'm just going to get rid of, I know I can guarantee you this much. I am going to get rid of the people that this guy let in. And he kind of said that a little bit in terms of when he was characterizing who he thinks that was let in, obviously overblown, obviously, you know, not as simplistic as he based it. They're not opening up jails and they're not opening up mental institutions and saying, hey, go to America. But are you going to have people that come across who engage in criminal activity, have criminal pasts, might have mental health issues? Of course. Look at the percentage of the population that has all of those issues. It's just a natural thing to assume that some of the people coming would have some of that. But it wasn't the way that he characterized it. But even if he just wanted to focus on the characterization and say, yeah, I'm going to get all the people who are criminals, all the people who came from mental institutions, then at least you're giving something a little bit more specific. As opposed to, you know, what has people a little bit more concerned is, well, there's people who have been here for 25 years whose visas expired, but they're now, you know, working very important jobs in tech companies and are contributing members of society. And are those the people that you want to get rid of? And he just hasn't addressed that. And I think he hasn't addressed that because at least my gut feeling from the way that I'm perceiving it is I think Donald Trump knows that that would not be a good policy to have, but he just doesn't want to say that yet because it might make it sound like he's being soft on immigration and he's trying to be, you know, the hardliner on it to win the votes. So that's just my gut feeling is that even he knows, hey, there's got to be some directive of who it's going to be. It's not going to be everybody, but you don't score points with the base by saying that. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Yeah, hi. For the deportation, you can start with the motels and hotels. Those are the newest people here. So it wouldn't be too hard. You know, Eisenhower did it in the 50s. So you start with those people because they have not acclimated here so much. So I would start with the hotels and motels and with the deportation that way. Have a good day.
You as well. Yeah, I think that that's where, you know, he could have scored a couple of those points is by saying that. You know, the people who have come here in the last almost 4 years, those are the people that we're going to have return home first. Now, again, that even that has some stickiness to it because not everybody that came here is a person that shouldn't be here. You know, I think most people who look at immigration with a non-judgmental viewpoint, I'll say, without any kind of bias, will look at that and say, of course, there are some people who have come here that actually do need the asylum process. Of course, there are some people that came here that actually do need our help. But that, you know, there's a lot of other people who are just taking advantage of the situation. And I think people that are looking at it rationally and reasonably will look at that and say there needs to be a differentiation there as well. But these are complicated viewpoints that don't make for good sound bites in a debate. Which is why you hear a debate like what happened last night. And let's just say that Joe Biden was on top of his game. Let's just say it was Joe Biden from 2008. And he was hitting all the salient points and he was, you know, giving you that good delivery and he was flashing that Joe Biden grin and all that kind of stuff. Let's just pretend it was that guy. And he was still saying the same things that he was saying in this debate. People would look at that and say, I appreciate that you're answering the question. It's a little bit too much policy stuff. You still aren't giving us that sexy soundbite. You still aren't giving us the applause line, even though I know it's hard to say applause line when there's no audience, but you know what I mean by an applause line, the thing that normally would get people to respond. And every debate that's been in front of a crowd had applause lines. The Lincoln-Douglas debates had applause lines. But, you know, the policy is great, and people who are serious about who they're going to vote for want to hear about policy. But I think a majority of the American people who are tuning into that debate just want drama. Because they're not watching part of the political process. They're watching a television show. 508-996-0500. Going to take a break here. We'll be back in just a few moments. We can get into some of that stuff about the Uber and Lyft drivers and the benefits they're receiving. Or if you want to call in more about the debate, we'll welcome that as well. We will be right back. It's Friday. I'm in love. Well, not really. I'm in love with Friday. 508-996-0500. So, of course, the Trump campaign put out a statement on the debate. And let me just read you the beginning of it. Tonight, President Trump delivered the greatest debate performance and victory in history. Okay. Can we tone down the rhetoric a little bit? I'm not going to let you call it the greatest debate performance in history. There's no I knew Jack Kennedy, you sir, I know Jack Kennedy moment. There's no I won't hold my opponent's age against him. There's no standout, I don't think, moment that came from that. It was just people thought it was a disaster on all accounts. And people walked away saying, I can't believe this is the best that we have. So I wouldn't call it the greatest debate performance in history. I would actually say, Donald Trump, you performed. It wasn't even the greatest debate performance in your history. But, you know, they can't help themselves with rhetoric. They can't help themselves. Everything has to be the best. And that was the most annoying thing out of last night's debate on both sides. We were the best. They were the worst. And then, you know, then Biden answers. We're the best. They were the worst. Come on. We all know the truth is somewhere in the middle. I understand, you know, the idea that these presidential scholars came together and rated Donald Trump the worst president in history. Okay, fine. But you can say that. You don't have to keep going back to it. The other part of it is it talks about, you know, Joe Biden showed on the other hand, showed exactly why he deserves to be fired. Despite taking a week-long vacation at Camp David to prepare for the debate, Biden was unable to defend his disastrous record on the economy and the border. Throughout the debate, Biden lied, invented stories, and could not articulate a single plan to make things less expensive and keep our people safe, choosing instead to change the subject and dwell on the past. That's exactly what Donald Trump did, too. Donald Trump also relied on falsehoods and tried to change the narrative and tried to not answer the questions. I think the right move for the Trump campaign here should have been to say, we accept the victory of last night's debate or tonight's debate because they wrote it last night, but we accept the victory of the debate, but we're sorry that we have to accept it in this way. We're sorry that Joe Biden came out and had to, it wasn't fair. He wasn't able to, look, I would have leaned into that and showed some compassion for it. I would have said something like, you know, we would seriously have reservations about another debate looking at President Biden's diminished mental capacity, whatever you want to say. But I would try to show sympathy toward him to make people think, people who are, I guess, on the fence or, you know, some say, gee, yeah, you're right, Donald Trump. It really isn't fair. But instead, all you're doing is galvanizing the people who are like, what a jerk Donald Trump is. And this only makes me feel more that he's a jerk. People like me who say he can't just not be bombastic for 5 minutes. Take the W. Anyway, 508-996-0500. We can take more of your calls on this and whatever else is on your mind. As I said, we can get some more into the Uber and Lyft stuff too. $32.50 an hour. I might have to just go drive. Can I host the show while I'm driving? I have a Bluetooth headset. Is that legal? Is there a way that that I could take phone calls and play commercials while I'm driving around? Anyway, we can talk about that more coming up. But right now, it is time to go into the newsroom and get all of the top stories of the day from Phil Devitt.
The first presidential debate between Trump and Biden is in the books. Indictments for law enforcement in a Texas school shooting. And those blue suede shoes Elvis didn't want you stepping on? You can have them.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
The first presidential debate of 2024 was arguably unlike anything the nation has seen before. President Biden stumbled at times during the night on CNN, which reportedly sparking concerns among Democrats over his age and ability to take on Donald Trump in November.
The total initiative relative to what we're going to do with more Border Patrol and more asylum officers.
I really don't know what he said at the end of that sentence. I don't think he knows what he said either.
Meanwhile, Trump seemed to try and deflect his actions during the attack on the U.S. Capitol, ignored some questions, and dismissed accusations that he had an affair with adult film star Stormy Daniels. Both candidates hurled personal insults and accused each other of being the worst president in U.S. history. The debate even devolved into jabs over age and a challenge to a golf match. The U.S. Supreme Court is allowing doctors in Idaho to perform abortions during certain medical emergencies. Tammy Trujillo reports.
The justices voted 6-3 on Thursday to reinstate a lower court order that blocked Idaho from enforcing a near-total abortion ban while it's being challenged in court. The Supreme Court ruling means the lower court decision that allows doctors to perform emergency abortions will stay in effect for the time being. The decision has no impact on any other states. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
A pair of former Uvalde, Texas school law enforcement officers have been indicted over the response to the 2022 deadly school shooting there. Mark Mayfield reports.
The Uvalde Leader News reports that former Uvalde school police chief Pete Arredondo and former school police officer Adrian Gonzalez face several felony charges of abandoning and endangering a child. The shooting at Robb Elementary School left 19 children and two teachers dead. Arredondo reportedly turned himself into officials on Thursday. Earlier this year, the U.S. Department of Justice released a report that heavily criticized law enforcement's response to the shooting. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Walgreens will close what it calls a significant number of stores across the United States. Sally Patterson with the latest.
On Thursday, CEO Timothy Wentworth admitted the current pharmacy model is not sustainable. One of the problems, he says, is shoppers just aren't shopping.
Walgreens has nearly 9,000 stores across the U.S. The drugstore chain said it plans to close underperforming stores as part of a multi-year strategy. Walgreens didn't specify how many of its stores will close, but Wentworth told the Wall Street Journal it'll be a meaningful percent.
Well, it's one for the money, two for the shop. You get ready now, go get it.
And the famous blue suede shoes worn by Elvis Presley are up for auction. The iconic footwear hits the auction block today with a bidding starting at $70,000. British auction house Henry Aldridge and Son is handling the sale. The size 10.5 shoes were worn by Elvis on the Steve Allen Show in 1956. Shoes are expected to bring in about $150,000.
WBSM Sports.
Red Sox start a 3-game set against the San Diego Padres tonight at Fenway Park with the first pitch set for 7:10.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
Look for tons of sunshine from start to finish today. Just a splendid summer day with a high near 77. For tonight, partly cloudy skies. Your low will be near 57. And for Saturday, look for a blend of sun and clouds, a high in the mid to upper 70s. Meanwhile, Sunday will feature clouds, showers, and the chance of a thunderstorm. It will be muggy with a high of 82. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Kelly Bates on New Bedford's News Talk Station, 1420 WBSM.
This WBSM news update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
And welcome back in, 508-996-0500. Good morning, you're next on WBSM.
Tim, so I got the butt end of your comments about Trump and everything else. So I know you're a water carrier for Joe Biden, but why should Trump apologize or say anything about, what we're talking about, feel bad for Biden? Listen, Biden is the one that asked to have this debate. So for him to stand there and look like a bumbling, stumbling moron, that's on him. He picked the fight,
right,
and he lost.
And you must not have been listening earlier. I pretty much said the same thing. But it's not that I feel like he should do it to make apologies for Joe Biden. I'm saying to try to score points with the people that he's trying to win over, because he's already got the people that are going to vote for him. I'm saying if you're trying to get some other people to come into your camp, that would have been the more savvy move.
Okay, well, I apologize because I caught like the back end of it when I caught tuned in. But
sure, no problem.
But I know, but he picked the fight for it. So if anybody should be apologizing and be ashamed, it's just is Biden's wife, Jill Biden. Okay, there was a cut that they actually brought Joe to a party, and she continued on and said, "Oh, Joe, you answered all the questions. What is he, a little petulant child? I mean, they ought to be ashamed. Obama and whoever else is pulling the strings should be ashamed to put him out there." So I don't feel bad for the Democrat Party, okay? But Tim, I used to be a registered Democrat, but now I'm an independent, so I can go either way with who I feel is the best person for the job.
Mm-hmm.
But it was clear as day from the get-go that the guy is lost. Now, think about this, Tim. He was like that in 2020 pretty much. So if people knew it then, okay, and now he's even worse, totally gone, okay? And I mean, as a human being, I feel bad for the guy. But his policies and the way he's conducted himself over 50 years is no excuse for him. So for them to put him out there like that, it was obvious when CNN threw him under the bus. It's almost like they planned on seeing him fall on his face. So whoever's running this campaign or what they're doing behind the scenes and forced the American people to see this on stage and what they've been doing it for 4 years, and if they knew that, they all should be held accountable and thrown in jail for treason, because they... and they don't stand for this country. And if it's Obama and Soros and all these other people, then so be it. Let the chips fall where they may, because they got blood on their hands with all these illegals coming over and killing American citizens. What do you have to say to that, Tim? What do you think?
Well, first of all, that's overblown. There's
what's overblown? What's overblown?
The fact that they're coming over and killing American citizens. Yes, there have been citizens who have been killed.
Are you kidding me?
And that's a shame. But it's not a predominant amount of the people who are coming over. It's a very small percentage of what's happening.
Are you kidding me? Tim, they're not supposed to be here, period. It's called illegal. They're killing American citizens. A 12-year-old in Houston. The lady in Maryland that had 5 kids dead from illegal aliens.
How upset are you about American citizens that are killing American citizens?
Listen, you're trying to twist it. You're trying to put your narrative out there.
I'm not trying to twist anything.
Hey, listen. But the point, we're talking about the border, Tim. We're talking about the border, and is it a shame that
And certainly we can talk about it, but we can't. Well, I'm not going to let you just put out bombastic statements that aren't true.
But that is the truth. Are you kidding? You got to be. You got the blinders on, or you're not paying attention?
Well, I think
news?
If anybody has blinders on, it's you, because you're trying to equate everybody that's coming over the border with a small percentage of people who have committed crimes.
Everybody, I didn't say everybody. If even one comes over the border, Tim, do you believe that one person, terrorists are coming over the border? If one person comes over the border illegally, they already broke the law. That's number one. Number two, when they kill an American citizen, is that okay? Is that okay?
No, of course it's not okay. Of course it's not okay.
So when the Democrat Party talks about...
But I'm not
going to
tell people they can't come over the border if just because there's a few people who do bad things.
A few, right. A few. What do you consider too many? What do you consider too many?
One is too many for sure. We don't want anybody to get killed, but I'm just saying it's not happening in these overwhelming percentages. Listen, the problem is the whole system has to get fixed, and nobody's bothering to try to do that.
Well, Trump did try to do that, and he kept getting
blocked. No, he didn't.
But Yes, sir. He got blocked.
No, he didn't.
He has a court.
He literally stepped. He literally stuck his foot in it and told them not to fix it.
Are you kidding me? He was trying for 2 years to build the wall.
And then when they had a bill that would fix it, he stuck his foot in it and said, don't pass this. It's going to hurt me politically.
You show me the cut where you said that. I would love to hear that cut if you can find that.
There were numerous politicians who said that he was reaching out to his, you know, the people who are supporters of him in Congress saying, don't pass this, don't sign this, because I'd rather it not be fixed before I would get into office.
Well, I want you to show me, hear that clip. We'll go back to your premise there about people, about Americans. Do I feel bad? Where's Black Lives Matter when black on black crime are being murdered in the streets of Chicago and L.A. and Atlanta? All these people getting killed.
Listen, whataboutism doesn't solve anything. Okay, nobody can put their efforts into every problem that's out there. If you pick a cause and that's the cause that you support, that doesn't mean that you're okay with other things happening.
Well, the point is, like I said, the border is a problem. He tried to fix it. Until you play that clip, that it's not happening. Tim, you need to go do some research and pay attention.
Oh, don't tell me I need to do research.
Oh, well, maybe you should, because you're a water carrier for the Joe Biden campaign.
Yeah, I think you should go back and listen to the podcast all this morning, and you'll hear the fact that I called what happened last night a disaster.
It's not just today. You're a water carrier for
You're going to just think what you think no matter what anyway, no matter what I say, so just keep believing what you think.
I've had a conversation with somebody at Job Lot about different things yesterday, and it made sense to them when I told them, because they have no clue of what was going on. Very little. So the uninformed voters.
So you told an uninformed voter your perspective of things and your opinion on things, and you think that convinced them that what you said is right.
Well, they knew some stuff, but they didn't know about the other stuff. They didn't know half the stuff I was talking about. Just like when the Schnopes or whatever Schnopes came out about when Trump said in Charlottesville, all the good people on both sides. They debunked that. They also debunked the fact that he made fun of a handicapped person. Remember that, Tim?
Yeah, I saw that clip. I wouldn't debunk that.
Okay. What do you say about when Trump mentioned about January 6th, okay? So I think you were saying something about he avoided questions, right? Yes, he tried to avoid them. I agree with you on that. I'll give you that. I didn't like the fact that he was kind of going around.
You might have missed what I said before. I don't think every time that he did that, he was dodging a question. I think sometimes he just wanted to go back to what was said before. He thought that was more important than the question. So wouldn't say he was avoiding all the questions. I think in some cases he just felt that he wanted to use that time to address something else.
Well, I'll say that's admirable of you to say that about him, but I thought he was trying to dodge and move away from it. I didn't like that. I wanted him to be direct with it. But as he said, whose fault was it? Because it's on video with her daughter. Pelosi was at fault for not listening to bring in the National Guard. Now, what happened? Do I condone what happened? Absolutely not. But I guarantee you this, and you probably would agree, if there was National Guard troops there, this January 6th would have never happened. So that lies on the feet of Pelosi.
It wasn't her call to make, though.
It is her call.
It was the Capitol Police's call to make.
It's her call as the Speaker of the House. She's third in command.
Yeah, I mean, you're the one that wants to point to Snopes' fact checks. Go read the fact checks of what was said last night, and all the fact checks point out that when Trump said it was incorrect.
So you're going to deny that? You're going to deny the video of her in the SUV on January 6th?
She can say it all she wants. It doesn't mean that it was right.
But she's admitting to it. So if you admit to a crime, you'll say, okay, now you're going to jail.
It's not a crime.
Right?
It's not a crime if it wasn't your call to make.
It is her. It was her call, along with the mayor and everybody else. The DOJ, not the DOJ. Is it the DOJ? I can't say who's next in line. But she's third in line to be the president. She was a third in line, so she gets briefed every.
So maybe the first in line to be the president. You know, the guy who's actually the president should have called them in.
He did, but he has to get approval.
I thought he's number one. Why does he have to get approval from somebody if he's number one?
That ain't how the whole system works.
I don't think you know either.
No, I do. I do. You know it. You know I'm right. The video's there. She admitted to it. And it's right there. You're just trying to spin for him. That's what you're doing.
Okay. Absolutely. I got to go. You have a great weekend. you could at least say goodbye. Caller, hang on. I got to take a break. We will get to you as soon as we come back. Well, actually, when we come back, we'll talk with Eric over at the butcher shop, and then we'll take more of your calls, 508-996-0500. We will be right back. Right back into your calls on the debate in just a few moments. But before we do that, there's no debate that the best place to get your meat and everything that you need is at the butcher shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. And let's bring on Eric. Good morning, sir. How are you doing today?
Hey, what's up? That was good, dude. I like that.
Thank you. Yeah. So, of course, this is a huge week for you guys. Being 4th of July week coming up, everybody's going to be coming to the butcher shop to get all their stuff to throw on the grill. What have you got going on this week?
Dude, honestly, I got everything, my man. I got tomahawks. I got nice Terrace Major. I got nice ribeyes. I got prime. I got choice. I got fillets. I got nice chicken breasts. I got chorizo linguiça ready to put on the grill. I got everything, brother. You know, it's going to be like a long 4th of July week. You know what I mean? The way it kind of falls.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to go this weekend into next week, pretty much, I think.
Yeah.
I got shish kebab. I got chicken shish kebab, beef shish kebab. I got burgers, bacon burgers. I got vegetable bacon burgers. I got everything, man.
Vegetable bacon burgers?
Yeah. I just grind in some vegetables with the bacon burgers.
Nice.
It's nice because a nice flavor makes them nice and light and fluffy. They're very tender. Nice stuff, man.
So, and of course, if you know that you're going to be having a big cookout on the 4th of July, you can reach out and you can make sure that you can get everything all ready to go, marinated, seasoned, ready to go. You can throw it right on the grill. You make everything easy for everybody.
You got it, brother. Yeah, just call me ahead. Let me know what you want. Dude, I got beer here. I got everything you want. Salad, potato salad, pasta salad, chickpea salad. I got everything.
And of course, you also have hot foods if people want to come by and get something ready to go. I love that octopus that I had last week. Oh, so good.
Oh, good. I'm glad you liked it. That's cool.
And
I got octopus today. Today's a fish day. You know, it is Friday. I got the fillets. I got the sardines, the mackerels, shrimp Mozambique. Dude, I got everything you want.
So what are you throwing on your grill both this weekend and for 4th of July?
Oh, Jesus. You get me every time, my man. I forget every goddamn time. I'm going to have, you know what, I think I'm going to have some shish kebabs tonight.
That sounds good.
Nice beef, maybe a beef and a chicken. They're nice.
And you know what? You know, you treat yourself. Get yourself one of those tomahawks for the 4th of July.
Yeah. I'll save it for you. You had one last weekend.
I just finished mine just a couple days ago.
It's so goddamn big, I know.
It was great. It was fantastic. So thank you, Eric, for joining us. And everybody should head on down to the butcher shop, get all of your 4th of July party supplies and really what you need every day, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford.
Thanks, bro. I'll talk to you.
All right. Have a good day.
Later.
That is Eric. We'll let him get back to work. You can stop by and see him. And he's just as much of a character in real life as he is on the radio. Let's go back to the phones, 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hi, Jim. I just wanted to say, don't be too upset because that clown calls every day on the other show.
Yeah, let's not insult other callers. We don't.
He's just a fool. That's all I can say. I mean, you made some good things, and he's a Trump lover.
I think he missed a lot of the morning where I was, you know, kind of beating up on Biden's performance. So I think if he heard all that, he would have felt a little bit differently.
Yeah, really. I just wanted to cool it. That's all.
All right, I appreciate that. Thank you so much. What'd you think of the debate? What did you think about what happened?
I thought Biden was a little weak. You know, he didn't have that little zip to him that he did last time. You know, with the smiles and stuff like that. As far as Trump, he doesn't make any sense. He doesn't make any sense at all. So, I mean, I would never vote for him anyway. So
all right.
I don't know.
Well, thank you for the call. You have a nice weekend.
You too.
Take care. Bye-bye. And of course, you know, what we did see was a person last night that had trouble staying on topic. We saw a person that had trouble, you know, staying on the point, making the point that he was trying to make, using words that actually made sense, actually getting to a conclusion of what they were saying. And then we saw Joe Biden, too. They both did not have great nights last night. That is just the honest truth. And a caller put it out perfectly this morning, or earlier this morning. The caller who said he was texting with his friends and his friend said, "I'm witnessing a murder right now." And he responded back, "No, what you're actually seeing is a suicide," because it was an issue of Joe Biden's own doing, of his own making. He is the one, first of all, that asked for this debate. He's the one that spent all this time preparing. And I do think that in the prep, they must have felt like he was ready to go, or else somebody would have started sending out some of these, you know, smoke signals ahead of time. Somebody would have, they would have already been telling us he had a cold before he even took the stage, instead of waiting until halfway through. So I think everybody that's in the Biden camp was just as surprised by what we saw last night as we were. That's my gut feeling about it. I think they were expecting a better performance, and that's not what they got. So I will say, though, Biden had a great tweet before it. And of course, you know, these are all managed by the social media team. They're coming up with all these creative ideas. But they had a picture of him drinking before, out of a can before the debate. And it said, the can said something about, you know, Dark Brandon's energy juice. And it said something like, you know, relax, Jack, it's just water. But it was pretty funny because he was playing into the whole idea that they were saying he was going to come out hopped up on something. And maybe you could have had one Red Bull, Joe. Maybe one Red Bull. I mean, I never thought you were going to be hopped up on things like everybody else was saying. But it would have been even I have a Red Bull before I go out and talk at a library or something. So I just would have thought a little bit more. Anyway, I've got to take a break here. We'll be back in just a few moments. Station to Tavares. They're getting their own street in New Bedford named for them. I know Phil's going to go down there. I've heard some other folks here at the station are going to go down there. So, you know, maybe I'll pop down again. It all depends on what time I wake up. It all depends on what I do tonight. Because, I don't know, a Friday night in the summertime with nothing to do, maybe I'll go out and actually have a little fun for once. But you know who's not having fun today? Joe Biden. And well, yeah, as Chris said, he might be. But I certainly think that there's going to be a lot of conversation that happens over this weekend to say, what is the path going forward here? Do I think they're going to bring somebody else in? I don't. I think there's not enough time. I think that would be a sign of weakness. I think people would, you know, there's nobody that they could trot out that would immediately gravitate people toward them, or else they would have already trotted them out to begin with. They would have already had somebody waiting in the wings, commenting on things. You would have seen them all the time. You would have, you know, they would have been on all the cable TV news shows. They don't have that. They've got Joe Biden. They've got Kamala Harris. So if it's not Joe Biden, it's Kamala Harris. And I think they know that that's a losing proposition against Donald Trump. So go back and watch the debate over the weekend. If you want, just zero in on the part where they talked about the golf game. That's what I want to see. I don't want to see another debate. I want to see the two of them in a golf match. The same way they had Tom Brady face off against Peyton Manning. They called it what they call it, the match. They should do the same thing, Trump and
Menards is your electrical headquarters. We carry all the tools and testers you need for any electrical job. Stack up your toolbox with Southwire electrical products today. Right now, save big money on Southwire electrical tools, testers, cable ties, wire, and cable. Shop our huge selection in store at Menards. Ranked number one in customer satisfaction among home improvement retailers, according to J.D. Power. For more information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Save